All right, on this episode of Bouks Talkin' Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to compete and promote, as he is quite accustomed to doing, Rumble in the Cage 64, and that transpires on February the 18th. We've got a heavyweight clash, Matt Heim, taking on Lee Meehan, and always good getting to have Lee on the show to talk fighting. How's it going there, man?
Oh, it's going great.
Yeah, and I feel like you'd be happy about this fight kind of materializing, because obviously targeted it for, you know, the last Rumble show and seemed to, you know, not pan out in pretty close proximity to the event. Like, what all went on there with that?
Yeah, for last show, again, he'd asked to fight me, and I said, that show will make it happen. And he was suspended by the Manitoba Commission, and he did all the stuff required to get the suspension lifted. And we sent everything into them, and they came back saying, oh, no, we want all this extra stuff done, which made no sense at all, because his doctor said he was fit to fight. His knee was fine from the reason he was suspended. And so it's frustrating that it didn't happen. Wasn't any fault on Matt. The commission was just being difficult in my mind. And then he got cleared to fight in the Red Deer show on Havoc. And so it's just fine. So then now he's just getting his new medicals done for the Lethbridge fight card. So he's not suspended anymore, which is great, and we should be able to make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, kind of like going back to the intro, just the fact that, like, even in the face of, like, your, you know, competition getting canceled, it's like, there's still cool aspects of the event on a promoter level, it would seem like. Like, I saw Dennis Kang was in the house, but on an even more, like, localized family level, I saw you had your granddaughter out, which seemed to be important to you. I mean, understandably, obviously, so it seemed to be a great night in a lot of regards.
Yeah, it's always fun, you know, a fun night, and I love that, you know, meeting new coaches from other gyms and having the old school guys coming out, like Dennis Kang and stuff like that, you know, just great having them at the gym and, you know, just having them part of the show, and they've got all this experience they bring to the table, and it's great for, you know, the up-and-coming fighters get to, oh, man, you know, there's this guy that fought in UFC and fought in Pride and all that stuff, and they get to see, you know, guys like that, legends of the sport. At my events as coaches and what they do with their athletes. So it's just kind of a full circle thing for me, is just being, you know, what I'm trying to do with this sport is just give opportunities for fighters to get experience, fight at home, guys from out of town get a chance to fight, so they get more prepared to fight at other shows. And, you know, I'm always looking for the fights that are entertaining. I don't care what guys' records are. I just want guys that show up, you know, aren't hassle to deal with. The coaches, everybody, or, you know, everyone knows what to do and how to behave, and, you know, no headaches, and just show up, put on a great fight, win or lose, and entertain the fans and have fun and enjoy the process. So that's kind of what I look for. So,
yeah, and I think Rumble always delivers in that regard. Like, I don't think there's ever been an event that hasn't been, you know, filled with barn burners. So a great, like, culture created there with the live events, but also even, you know, with the gym too. Like, it seems like CMC is, you know, having some great times lately. I mean, they've always, you know, produced a lot of great high quality fighters, and there's just, you know, consistent activity all throughout the country, but just seems like there's, like, a great kind of sense of momentum and a good vibe in the gym. Like, it seems like Majed is doing great things as the unified champion and everything like that, so it just seems like a good vibe now.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's picking up again after the, you know, lockdowns and all that garbage we had to go through. Starting to rebuild the team again and get, okay, now there's competitions everywhere. We can start competing, whether it's grappling tournaments or Muay Thai events or MMA shows, right? Starting to guys realize, oh, man, I can be busy fighting again. So it motivates guys to get back in the gym and train, and the new guys, you know, to build their portfolio by just fighting amateur or pro and just, you know, again, enjoying the sport for what it's meant to be.
Yeah, for sure, and a great, like, collaborative kind of dynamic, too. I mean, just, like, with, like, the, you know, Progressive Fighting Academy, like, certain guys from over there going to fight at CMC and vice versa. Like, it just seems like a great supportive kind of fight town in that sense. Like, just kind of, like, looking at the greater good for the sport almost more so.
Yeah, and I think that's important, you know. Whether it's a tournament in town or it's a fight card, I mean, we all try and help each other out. There's enough people for every gym in the country to be busy. You know, we barely tapped into like 1% of the market, you know, even in Lethbridge, for martial arts training, you know, and people that live here. So we all can expand greatly and still not interfere in each other's success as being business people. And I think it's important that we support each other, whether it's a small grappling tournament or it's an event. It doesn't always work out. You have a fighter from another gym fight on your show, but we all know that we're welcome to fight on each other's shows if it works out, or any promotion that comes to town for that matter. You know, I always want shows to do a good job so that everyone who comes out to a live event goes, oh man, it was a great fight. It doesn't matter if it's my show, PFA shows, fight night, I don't care. Just do a good job so the fans are entertained and it's a good experience for the fighters. You know, and I try and make my guys available to other promotions as well, whether it's BFL, Unified, whoever's doing a show, PFC out in Ontario. You know, we want to be a part of the whole fight scene. And, you know, if we can accommodate a fight and make it happen, we definitely will put someone out there. So,
yeah, it was cool you shouted out PFC there. I kind of wanted to reference that a little bit because it seemed like he got in some work at Adrenaline MMA while Jamie Ingram was in town for his fight with Faisal Rahman. What was that whole experience like working at Adrenaline? I mean, such like a, you know, rich history in the London area and by proxy for Canadian MMA.
Yeah, it was great. I hadn't been to their gym before. Again, you know, this goes way back. I trained under Boss Rutan and Sean Tompkins trained with Boss, and so that's how I met Sean. Early, I had Sean come out and coach a couple of fighters that fought one of my very early Rumble in the Cage events, so that's how I got to know him personally. And we just had a connection, you know, like fellow Canadians, and we both trained under Boss Rutan. And so when he moved to Vegas, I went down and trained with him down there when I was in town. And so it was just a lot of fun to go, you know, train with at Adrenaline where, you know, his students, you know, grew up in the sport, and now they have their own place and they're doing stuff. It was just fun to be there and see all the guys there and you know, get a chance to get some rounds in on the pads and stuff before my fight. So it was great.
Yeah, for sure. And kind of an interesting dynamic with this next fight. I mean, as we were kind of talking about, like, you and your opponent have a certain commonality, and as far as like both having fought Jag Buller relatively recently, like you being his first fight and your opponent being his second. And I guess I'm kind of curious because, like, leading into the fight when we were initially talking about it, it was almost like Matt Heim was looking at this as sort of like his swan song in a certain sense. Is that kind of still the plan with, like, you to kind of have this like his as a send-off fight, or has he maybe amended that timeline a little bit, just, you know, him having already fought another guy previously?
Yeah, we originally talked, he wanted to have one last fight, and I agreed to do, you know, it's an MMA fight, but I agreed to stand and bang with him and not, I'm not going to use any grappling or jiu-jitsu on him. And then he took that other fight, which was great, you know, and so I think as long as he's healthy, he can keep fighting if he wants. He may, after this fight, say, yeah, I'm done now, you know, I did what I want to do or whatever. I never put that on somebody. If they say they're retiring after a fight, that, you know, that could change their mind, which I'm fine with. If he wants to be his last fight, that's cool too, you know. Again, it'll be fun to fight, and he'll have a good time in Lethbridge at the show, and, you know, we know we run it proper, and it's always a good experience for a fighter. So if that's going to be your last fight, I think that's a good way to go. But if he fights after that, then so be it. That's cool too. So
yeah, for sure, like, whatever he wants to do. I guess I just thought to bring it up again to see if that was kind of, you know, still the case there. But I do think that's interesting that you'd sort of, you know, made that gentleman's agreement, like we were talking about that the last time, because you were saying sort of in the context of his record, like, anytime he would lose, it would, like, be a byproduct of kind of getting, like, taken to the mat and having, like, the, you know, grappling part of his game kind of exploited a bit. So that's cool that you're, like, wanting to, you know, go that route, because we've talked before about you wanting to always, like, engage people in, like, the area they're strongest.
Yeah. And, you know, again, that's always fan-friendly, right? When you get two heavyweights throwing punches, I mean, that's entertaining, right? And the fans in Lethbridge are very educated, and so they get the ground game and they understand what's going on. So, you know, it's not like they're booing because you go to the ground. It's still exciting to the fans because they get it. But, you know, obviously it's still visually more entertaining when guys are trying to knock each other out, right? So I want to give the fans, you know, the most bang for their buck. And so it's going to be fast and furious for sure.
Yeah, there's always so much great MMA action on these shows. I mean, it's, you know, the longest running show in Canada for a reason. Like, we've talked about the dimensions of the cage and, like, the high finishing rate throughout history as well. But I've also always loved like how much Rumble is willing to, you know, indulge in like other martial arts. Like I remember like super boxing and some combat jujitsu on some other cards. Like now that we're kind of, you know, back from a lot of the pandemic measures, as we were talking about before, is there maybe plans to, you know, integrate more of that in the future, or maybe mostly MMA kind of promotion in the near future, you'd say?
I like to do it all. I just, you know, it kind of depends on the names I get in to fight. You know, I have one of my guys is doing, amateur guys is doing I couldn't find an MMA fight, so he's doing a Muay Thai fight for this show. You know, and so, you know, I love it all. And I just, if I have two guys that want to do combat jiu-jitsu, man, I'll put it on. If someone wants to do super boxing, you know, and the other guy agrees to it, let's do it. And especially the reason I started super boxing was a transition for guys who are strikers who want to get into MMA that don't have their ground game yet, and they can kind of build that through that sport. And, you know, they still get to fight. They got the small gloves on. It's entertaining. Once they get taken to the ground, they get stood back up after, you know, after the five count. So it just kind of bridges that gap between the two styles. And it's still, you know, very fan-friendly, very entertaining. And, you know, same as combat jits. The guys do jitsu and they want to get into MMA, well, that's a good transition for them, right? They're striking on the ground now, not just sport jiu-jitsu. They're striking, they got to deal with that. So then they get more comfortable with that, and then maybe they go to full MMA. So, you know, I'm always open to whatever comes up. When we put our application in, we kind of put it in for all those forms of combat sport, because we have to decide beforehand what we're going to look for. It doesn't mean we'll get a combat jiu-jitsu or a super boxing match on a show, but I put my application in that they may be on the show. And that's just, again, just more fan base, more fighter availability from different gyms, from the Muay Thai gyms to just gyms to the MMA gyms. You know, and I think that's just really, you know, more of a broad spectrum of combat sport for the fans to be entertained by. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Just, like, so fun to see all those different permutations of combat sports. Like, are there any kind of, you know, combat sports you have been wanting to promote in Rumble in the Cage that maybe you haven't got to as of yet that maybe you could see yourself pursuing in the future?
I had lots of guys request some bare-knuckle boxing, request bare-knuckle MMA. And I'm all for that. It's just a matter, again, will the commission allow it? What rule sets are they going to allow, not allow? That, you know, the logistics of that. And then if it's worthwhile doing, like who's involved, the cost and everything like that. Is it worth it financially to a promotion to pull something like that off? And usually it is. I know one thing is I won't be doing any slap fighting. That's what I know for sure. So,
yeah, okay, good. Yeah,
well, I'm not opposed to it. I think people should be able to do whatever they want to do, right? If you want to arm wrestle, or you want to power lift, or you want to fight MMA, it's your choice, man. It's your body. You're putting yourself through it, and I get that. And if there's a market where people want to pay to watch people slap each other unconscious, then I say go for it. But, you know, it's not something I'm going to pursue on a business level. I think it's much more, you know, yeah, you're knocked out in boxing, you're knocked out in kickboxing, you're knocked out in MMA, but just standing there taking full-on trauma, and then they allow you to get back up to take more if you get up in time, that to me is just ridiculous, because it's like the standing eight counts in boxing. They do more damage than anything to a guy's career, where MMA, you get dropped from a shot, the guy gets on top, he starts ground and pound, and the fight gets ended right away, so it actually saves the fighter damage by not having eight counts and stuff. And that's my worry with super boxing as well, because we have that eight count from the traditional striking, you know, kickboxing and boxing kind of era. And that's my concern there, is that you guys are getting hurt, they're allowed to recover enough to go fight some more, which can be good, but also can be bad as far as total damage that you receive in a match. So that's kind of where I'm at with those type of things. But again, if people want to do it, go for it. I just not my thing, not something I want to risk promoting. But, you know, again, I don't think it's going to, who knows how long it'll last or what it'll do, but it's not my thing anyways.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of in a similar position. It's kind of like if you're an adult and you want to pursue something and, you know, the other person wants to be a part of it too, it's like, you know, have at it. It's like they're just as much in the right doing that, just as you're in the right, you know, not pursuing promoting something like that. So it just kind of is what it is.
Yeah.
But interesting you mentioned, like, the bare-knuckle boxing before, like, just getting some of those requests. I mean, a couple of things I find interesting with that, just we're talking about, like, the slap fighting and pretty much just standing there and taking trauma. I feel like with, like, you know, bare-knuckle boxing and bare-knuckle MMA, there's certain evidence around it now where it really shows that a lot of the, I mean, more in the MMA context, but it, like, can lead to a lot more, like, submission finishes and stuff like that. And there's not that same, you know, rate of brain damage because, like, the gloves obviously allowing people to strike harder, etc. But also kind of interesting because, like, there has been, you know, that bare knuckle precedent in Alberta already. And I was actually talking to David Feldman kind of recently about BKFC potentially coming to Alberta, just because I feel like that would probably be the first area they would come into. And yeah, no, he seemed pretty warm on the idea and everything like that. So that could be another cool thing for some of the Lethbridge lads, another card to get in on some BKFC action, possibly.
Yeah, for sure. I think, again, the only thing that's riskier with bare knuckle is more chance of getting cut, more chance of breaking your hands because you don't have that glove protecting your hand when you hit a skull. Again, you can have fully wrapped hands and boxing gloves on and guys break their hands all the time hitting the skull or hitting an elbow or hitting a hip bone. So, you know, I don't think one's more dangerous than the other, but again, you're hitting a skull with a bare knuckle, your hand's probably going to break. You're also more likely to get cut because you don't have that little bit of padding from the glove. So, you know, but again, we accept those risks, right? That's what we do. So,
yeah. Yeah, for sure. Just a lot of interesting components here. And something I also kind of found interesting as well, just doing like a bit of backgrounding on you. Like, we've done a few interviews, but for some reason, I was just noticing that like every win you have, like dating back to, you know, 2004, you've been able to close the show out in the first round. Like, do you see that trend continuing through, you know, this upcoming fight here and everything? I would think that that would be the case, being that it's almost a, you know, 2-decade streak going right now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I being older and, you know, you battle through injuries, I don't train to the level the young guys train. So to say I'm going to go 3 rounds or 5 rounds, I'm like, realistically, I don't think I would be able to, conditioning-wise. And the way I fight, you know, I know I could fight smarter and safer. I just don't find that entertaining. I just want to go for it. I want to go for the kill, and either you get me or I get you. So it's first, second round, usually by the time that happens. So, you know, I'm looking for the finish right away, and I want to be entertaining. And, you know, that's what I plan on this show. I want to finish him in under 2 minutes. So, and I'm sure he's thinking the same thing, right? So,
yeah, a lot of ingredients for a very exciting one. I feel like all the fights I've seen of yours have been exciting, though, so not a, you know, great surprise if that happens to unfold there. But you've been really great with your time, Lee. It's been great getting some insights from you and everything, but just in wanting to be mindful of your time and the rest of your schedule today, is there maybe anything you'd want to put out there as like a final parting thought as we're wrapping things up here, man?
No, I just really appreciate all the teams and coaches that commit the time and energy to get all their medicals in and all the paperwork they need for the commissions, and, you know, and just commit to doing something. And there's a lot of flaky people out there that say they want to fight and then don't, or they waste your time putting their name in, then you mess up, say, I gotta fight for you, and then, you know, oh, I can't fight now, I didn't take time off for work. Well, you know, you kind of map things out a little bit better on your schedule. It's hard on the promoter to juggle everything, but that's, I just accept that's part of the sport. So I really appreciate the teams and the fighters that step up and do everything, you know, being professional in how they go about their business. And I just love the fans and the pay-per-view buys that people do to come to watch the fights, knowing it's going to be entertaining. There's going to be tons of knockouts, tons of finishes. And, you know, I just really appreciate and I'm grateful for the support we have had over the years and for every show. So, and I appreciate you guys that do the coverage of all these events to let people know the results and all that type of stuff after the fights and during the fights. I mean, that's I think that's good for the sport that people could be involved, especially with social media the way it is. So,
yeah, well, it's such a great Canadian MMA scene, so always fun to follow and cover. And yeah, I mean, Rumble in the Cage, very much a fun show to check out live. So if you're in the Lethbridge area, definitely try to do so, but also very, you know, fun broadcast to watch. I've gone that route as well, so people can check that out either way, regardless of their proximity, February 18th. And yeah, thanks so much for making some time ahead of Rumble in the Cage 64, Lee. You have a good rest of your day, and looking forward to checking out all the fights when they go down too.
You bet. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.